Good morning. I'm Scott McCann, and Randall had one announcement that he told me to announce, that we have two new members of ICC who joined recently. That person, those two people, one is me, and my wife Donna, who's sitting right there. So we're here, and I'm just let you know that if you are considering joining the church and haven't, the next step is you're up here. So you just make, you know. Like I said, I'm Scott McCann, born and raised in Albuquerque. I went to Highland High School. I'm a New Mexican. And my dad was a veterinarian. And for a long time, I thought Veterans Day was for veterinarians. But he was also a veteran. He served in World War II. He was a survivor of the Bataan Death March. So that says a lot about my upbringing. And I'm very proud of him, and I'm very proud of my mother, who was a stay-at-home mom who loved us dearly. And then I married Donna 30 years ago this past Tuesday. So we're getting there. And we have four kids. Amy, Christy, Taylor, and James. And Taylor lives here in Durango. She's a naturopathic doctor. Amy is in Bloomfield, and Christy is in Houston. And my son is in Southern California. He works for Vans. He's a graphic designer, so you'll notice I kind of wear Vans quite a bit in support of him. And, of course, you know, we got Donna, and who's the sister of Valerie, who's the sister of Lorna, and then we have the brother Russ, and it's kind of like the genealogy in Matthew, if we could be here for a couple hours, but I'm not going to go through that. I've learned, as being a member of this family, that basically everybody here is cousins. So, but why am I up here? Is not because I just joined the church and Randall said you have to preach. They've never heard me speak before. I'm a teacher. I just retired from teaching 38 years. I taught U.S. history, human geography, government. But teaching and giving a sermon are two different things. I'm a lot more comfortable in front of kids because supposedly I know more than they do. And I'm definitely not a Bible scholar. I am not a preacher. But when God asks you to do something, especially teaching the Word, for some reason, no doesn't come out. It doesn't. It's there, Scott, will you preach? Sure. You go, where did that come from? We are here, and we're going to be in James. We're going to go through James chapter 1. Verse 19 through 27. I teased Randall and told him I'm going to finish James and then see what happened to him. And, you know, what we could, you know, covering a book in one day and instead of a year and a half. But I told him, okay, but we're not going to do this. A very rich passage, and I think it's worth spending some time on. And if you noticed as I got up, you know, the thing about masks is they get caught in my ears, and I have hearing aids. And you may not think you need hearing aids, but sometimes your wife will say something, and you will say, yes, or I know I did that, and that you didn't hear it. So Donna told me, you need to get your ears checked. So I did, and they told me I needed hearing aids. So now I have hearing aids. It's amazing how God works, you know, and my title today is, Do you need hearing aids? And you may not think you do. But I bet you do, by the way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to speak your word. I just pray that I get out of the way and that your word is spoken through me. I thank you so much for Randall and the elders and giving me this opportunity. And I just pray that I glorify you in the words we speak this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the nice thing about preaching, you know, when you do God's word, if you don't do it well, He's going to give you another chance. So this is like the third time I've had to do this. Well, get your Bibles out. Some of you have electronic Bibles. Some of you have that thing called a book. It's called, it's got paper. So you got the paper Bible, got your electronic Bible. And if you have a laptop or a desktop, I'm going to talk to you later. But I'd like you to follow along. We're going to first start with James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And notice what the quick one is. Listen. James reminds the people undergoing unbelievable persecution, don't forget that God is good. And what is happening in you is going to work for the good ultimately. Don't be cynical. Don't be quick to complain about your situation. Instead, stop speaking and start listening to you, and you will hear God's voice in your trial. So think about the conversations we've been having lately, especially this morning with masks. Well, a lot of the conversations, whether at dinner or at a restaurant, you hear people, it's all about the mask. I don't like them. You know, if I'm wearing up now, we'd be in trouble because my glasses fog up. The wearing a mask, for example, I was in the grocery stores and I was third in line. There was a lady in front of me, and there was a person getting checked out. We all had our mask on. And they got in a conversation about masks. So they're talking about masks. And the one lady in front of me said, but at least we're being compliant. And boy, there it went. The mask came down from the lady in front. And so being compliant, I don't want to be compliant. I have vertigo. This is all about, makes me uncomfortable. It makes me shaky. And I'm not going to be compliant. She tore her mask off and stormed out the store. And the five of us are looking around at each other, and we still all have our masks on. So she got angry. But much of the anger and wrath comes from being self-centered and not others-centered. Swift to hear is a way to be others-centered. Slow to speak is a way to be others-centered. We should be other-centered, not self-centered. We don't wear masks because we look good, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Whether we want to be if we put pistols on our hips and wore we'd be bandits in history. But we wear them because we are compliant and we want to help others. It's how we look at things. In verse 20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Remember, God is righteous. And human anger does not produce the righteousness that God wants. I don't think that lady in the store produced the righteousness that God wanted. Being ticked off and hot under the collar doesn't accomplish anything. Ever. In light of the nature of temptation and the goodness of God, we must take special care to slow to wrath, because our wrath does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Our wrath always and almost always simply defends and promotes our own agenda. When you think about it, when you get mad, you're promoting your own agenda. In verse 119, I'll read it again. My dear brothers and sisters, take note to this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Everyone should be quick to listen. But what if you can't hear? Hearing aids. Did I listen to my wife? Did I hear? No, I didn't. Well, why can't you hear God? When God talks to you, why can't you hear him? Well, John Corson's application commentary says there are three reasons that we can't hear God. One, therefore, this is verse 121a, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Perhaps you can't hear because your ears are clogged. Now, in hearing aids, if you have hearing aids, first thing they tell you is once you hear real good and all of a sudden it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and you can't hear anymore, first thing you do is take them out. And they have little plastic things that protect you from the wax. And then they have another little thing in there that gets clogged. Well, you clean them. And you put them back in, and guess what? You can hear again. You've got to unclog your hearing aids. Well, one of the reasons you can't hear is because you're clogged with maybe plain old filth, sin. And we're all human. And the reason you can't hear God is because you are not following God's will. Therefore, you can't hear him. So what are you filling your ears with? What music do you listen to? What movies do you listen to or you watch? But what do you fill your ears with? Junk of the world? To hear God clearly, you have to get rid of all the stuff. To hear him, you need to clear your mind, clear your ears, and listen to him. The second reason we can't hear God, 121b, humbly accept, some translations say receive, the word planted in you, which can save you. Perhaps you can't hear God because your mind's made up. James tells us that we are to receive the word with meekness. Charles Spurgeon says, the first thing, then, is to receive. The word receive is a very instructive gospel word. It is the door through which God's grace enters to us. We are not saved by working, but by receiving. Not by what we give to God, but by what God gives to us, and we receive from him. What can we give God that he needs? Nothing. God doesn't need anything. He wants our love. He wants us to love him and accept him. And he gives, we'll talk about him, he gives salvation to us freely that we don't deserve. Third reason we can't hear. Let's go back. One thing that you can do is the implication being, Lord, that I am this trial or temptation or difficulty, is that we need direction for him. We are all going through COVID together. It's not an isolated incident. It's just, not me, I've got COVID. I don't have COVID. I'm just... but we're all in it together. And what we need is to ask God what he wants us to do through this. It's not about me. I'm in a difficult situation. I don't like to wear masks. Help me get through it. Help me wear the mask. Help me go into a store where I'm not comfortable. Help me be a light for you. And you can do that in times of crisis if you accept what he wants you to do and you follow him. Therefore, I come to you not with my own agenda or plan, but meekly, whatever you say, I will do. Then verses 22 through 24, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Have you ever been hungry? I'm sure you've been hungry. We've all been hungry. We probably are hungry right now. But you've walked to the refrigerator and you open it. You look inside. Don't see anything. So what do? You shut the door and walk away. 5 minutes later. That's right. You go into the same refrigerator and open it up. It hadn't moved. Nothing's moved inside. You're hoping that something has appeared that you can eat. You immediately forget. You forget what it looked like. So thirdly, people don't hear the word of God because we're all mixed up. Like I said, here are my hearing aids. It's now connected to my phone. Okay, so when the phone rings, my ears ring, which is cool. Or if you want to listen to music, nobody else has to listen to it. So when Randall's up here talking and I can, I hear what's in here. But it can be, so there's times I want to show a video to the family and I'm doing this, and they're all looking going, yeah? Then I remember it's in my ears. They can't hear it. They just see the picture, and I'm sitting there thinking it's a great thing, but it's in my ears. And then when my son calls me, because I have an iPad too, also. So my son calls, and he has a phone ring on the iPad. I have a phone ring on my phone. My right ear is a train whistle. My left ear is ringing like a phone. And I'm going nuts because I don't know what the world's going on. I've got, what's going on with my ears? Well, I've got three devices that are telling me I'm all mixed up. And it drives me nuts. And you're trying to turn one thing off. And that is what it's like with God. You get all mixed up. So just because we are reading the word doesn't mean we are obeying it. Just because you read the word, or just because you hear a sermon in church, doesn't mean you go out and you do it. James clearly warns us not to think that seeing our reflection properly means we are doers of the word automatically. I'll repeat that. James clearly warns us not to think that seeing our reflection properly means that we are doers of the words automatically. Be doers of the word. If the Lord shows you that you need to praise him, don't say, that's a good point. I need to praise him. That's a good idea. That's a good point, Scott. That's a good point, Randall. That's not the point. The point is, do it. If someone comes and asks you to pray, you need to pray for him, and you say, yeah, I'll pray for you. It's not what you ask. It's not what the person they want you to pray. You should pray immediately. You should stop and pray immediately. Did you know delayed prayer is disobedience? When someone asks you to pray, say, let's pray. Let's pray right now. God knows. You may not know all the situation of the person, what they need, but God does. And you just need to pray with them. Pray right then. When looking into a mirror, a healthy person looks in a mirror to do something. Don't you? A healthy person doesn't just look in the mirror and go, whoa, that's good. They don't just admire the image. Even so, a healthy Christian looks into God's word to do something and do something about it. Not just store up facts that will not put you to it's not just to store up facts that he will not put to use by being a doer of the word. If you're reading the word, you're reading the word to do something. God is pointing you in a direction. You ever open the Bible and pick the page and read it and went, wow. I was just thinking about that this morning. What should I do? And God guides you. He guides you through his word. And I was listening to a person and talking about kids and getting information today. And kids can't remember. You don't remember anything because they have a phone. And you can, parents, have, you can play this with them. You'd say, who was the first man to walk on the moon? And first thing they'll do is, hey, Siri, who's the first man to walk on the moon? And Siri will give them the answer. Okay, then 5 minutes later, ask them again. Who's the first man to walk on the moon? Hey, Siri. Right? Well, we asked, if I asked my dad who was first man, well, I watched the Neil Armstrong land on the moon. That's what I better do some well. I'll use it. So my dad would say, look it up. In the, if there's a thing called an encyclopedia, it was A to Z, and you had to open it up, and you had to find it. And there's another place that you can go in a community. It's called a library. And you walk in, and in the old days, you had to go to a card catalog. They had a bunch of drawers. And you had to open it up, and you would look it up, and it would have a number on it, 987B26, aisle LL, third floor. And you couldn't take the card out because they were attached, so you had to write it down. And then you closed it, and you went and found LL, and you found the book, and you would find out they didn't have your answer, so you had to do the whole thing again. And I guarantee you, when you got the answer, you remembered it. Because you're not going to go back and do that all again. So you remember it. So in another one, it's like studying the Bible. If you read Matthew 1, it's genealogy. And I made light of it earlier. But most of us, when we read the genealogy of Christ, or any genealogy in the Bible, you skip it. For one, we can't pronounce the names, because they're hard. You know, we get Ruth, we get the easy ones in there. David. But some of them are really hard. But just skip them. There's a lot of them. But what does that mean when you skip it? Everything in the Bible is God's spoken word. It's important. Every name in there is important. And a commentator said, if you do not understand the genealogy, you're not sweating enough. Get into it. Study it. Follow the rabbit trails. And imagine what you'll learn. Genealogy has a lot in it. Is it the most fun part of the Bible? Probably not. It isn't. But it's very, very informative. And it proves very clearly that Jesus is the Son of God. And He is God. And you know it through the genealogy, which is proven. It's amazing. Doctrines of God faithfully preached are such a mirror, he who hears cannot help discovering his own character and being affected with his own deformity. He sorrows and purposes amendment, but when he preaches when his preaching is over, the mirror is removed. He soon forgets what manner of man he was. He reasons himself out of the necessity of repentance and amendment of life, and thus deceives his soul. That was Reverend Clark. You can't forget what you see. Did you forget who you are? You forget who God is. And you deceive your soul. But in verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. And notice that perfect law gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. The perfect law of liberty. What a wonderful way to describe the Word of God. Our lawmakers try to write a good law. There's no way they're going to write a perfect one. Perfect one's already been written. In the new covenant, God reveals us do a law, but it is a law of liberty written on our transformed hearts of the Spirit of God. So with our ears clogged, our mind made up, or all mixed up, we are not going to hear the Lord. But reading the Word of God in meekness and then obeying it is the best hearing aids you can possibly have. So first of all, clean your ears. Get rid of the filth. Get rid of that sin. Second, charge those hearing aids. They don't work if you don't charge them. You got to charge, and you charge by reading the Word every day or every time you can. Charge your body, charge your soul, and you do it by reading the Word. And third, you have to wear them. I can clean them. I can charge them. But if I don't put them in my ears, I can't hear. And actually live what God's telling you to do. Be a doer of the Word. So thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. I believe now we're going to end the part of the service of communion. And what I would like, as I think we in your groups, is to pray together. I don't know of any prayer concerns. Nobody has told me, but to pray for our country, pray for our leadership, and ask the people next to you if there's any concerns or prayers that you would have that you would like them to pray for, and pray for them. And then when you're through praying as a group, keep your social distance as best as possible, but then after you're through, come up and grab your wine and your bread, and go back to your seats, and then we'll drink and eat. You know, when you take communion every week, and sometimes you just, it's the end of the service, or it's not. It's part of worship. It is probably the most important part of worship. I know we talked about the doers of the Word. A man asked a pastor, he said, "What's the difference between all these religions? You're a Christian." So the other religions are due. Christianity is done. Christ died on the cross for us. He did it all. You don't have to do anything. He did it all. He died on the cross. And when we remember, I can't imagine, you've had pain. You hurt. You have to wear a mask. You have to stand 6 feet apart from somebody. Just imagine what Christ did. He took all sins of the world, past, present, and future, for us who don't deserve it. On the night before he died, he talked to his disciples, and he broke the bread, and he said, "Eat in remembrance of me." And then he took his cup, and he said, "This is my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Drink in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this building, that we become doers of the word, that we serve you, that what we read and what we hear and what we hear from you, that we can glorify you in all that we do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand and we'll have our benediction. And what I like to do is not only read the scripture, but also the reference. It's always nice to know what part of the Bible it came from. So let's read. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. James 4:10. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.